Today on Seculo, President Trump's warning sparks an international meltdown.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. This is Logan Seculo in studio. Will Haynes is joining me. We got Rick Rennell coming up later in the broadcast. Of course, we always want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. We just got a couple days left. It is July 30th, so just a couple days left in our 35 years of justice drive. So if you've been considering supporting the ACLJ, do it right now and have your donation doubled for the next couple days. Again, as we focus on 35 years of justice now and 35 years of justice in the future. Because it is not slowing down. We do have some breaking news that came out today, and it came out from President Trump, and it is about the war in Russia and Ukraine. We have seen Trump offer an ultimatum to Vladimir Putin, saying in the war, and not only in the war in 10 days. We have a clip from President Trump. I want you to hear it directly from him. Byte 5.
Yesterday, you mentioned that you would change the Russia deadline to 10 to 12 days. Has that started yet? Or when can we, you know, see the official statement that that is the new deadline?
I'll tell you what, I'll give it to you now. Do you want a big scoop?
Yes, please.
Everybody else, close your ears, okay? You ready?
I'm ready.
10 days from today.
Got it.
Okay?
Got it.
Good.
How do you communicate?
We have a scoop.
Thank you.
And then, you know, we're going to put on tariffs and stuff, and I don't know if it's going to affect Russia. Because he wants to obviously probably keep the war going. But we're going to put on tariffs and the various things that you put on. It may or may not affect them, but it could.
May or may not affect them, but it could. Saying, hey, you got 10 days before we start putting in tariffs. And again, there could be some real economic impact to Russia. Now, specifically for the oil and gas industry, I know that's something that they have talked about. We do not do business with them, right? Correct?
Right. We don't use Russian oil and gas.
So it shouldn't affect our...
However,
gas prices?
Europe does. And what we also saw was that President Trump announced this big trade deal with the European Union, and a lot of that would have to do with energy. And we could see that the European Union, if there's sanctions on Russia with that oil and gas, could start leaning more into the U.S. and getting their energy from here. Whenever there's a disruption in the global pipeline of energy, there could be some effects domestically where the price of crude oil goes up around the world, and then therefore that translates back at home. But President Trump has been working on building back up the strategic oil reserves that were decimated under the previous administration. But we're also seeing the reaction out of Russia so far. And what we're seeing is from the former president of Russia. This was the...
You may have seen the headline that said, was sparking international meltdown, international outrage. That is because there is some big concern.
That's right. So this is from Dmitry Medvedev, who was the third president of Russia. He was this president that was sort of a Putin puppet for a while, that was put in office while they changed their constitution so that Putin could effectively be president for life. But what he put on X was... Trump's playing the ultimatum game with Russia. 50 days or 10, he should remember two things. One, Russia isn't Israel or even Iran. And two, each new ultimatum is a threat and a step towards war, not between Russia and Ukraine, but with his own country. Don't go down the Sleepy Joe road. There's another post on X we'll get into in the next segment, but those are strong words coming out of a former president, but now the deputy chair of Russia's Security Council.
And certainly, look, he's not necessarily wrong in this. You are dealing with Vladimir Putin. However, what clearly President Trump learned that maybe Joe Biden knew a little bit about too, which was Putin is not up for negotiating right now. He is not up for ending this war just because... or because the U.S. threats something. They have to come up with a real reason for him to stop the war. And you even see the tide turn where President Trump started to support Ukraine more than he had before. He had certainly been almost a neutral party, but then you start seeing him lean more towards Ukraine. Why? I think he got into it and you actually see what's going on. Realize you can't negotiate currently with the Putin administration. Phone lines are open for you. We're going to keep going. 1-800-684-3110. I want to hear you on the air today. I want you to give me a call. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that thumbs up right now. That really will help me. I'd love to see this go. But right now what I'm telling you is 80 thumbs ups. Let's see where we are when we get back from the break in just a minute.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. None of the critical legal victories we've scored over the past 35 years would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But the threats to life and religious liberty are far from over. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. This isn't just our work, it's our calling. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation. They're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. About 100 of you hit that thumbs up. But you know what? There's thousands of you watching right now, so I appreciate more than that, but that's okay. You know, well, they're just getting used to it. It's Tuesday. It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday, actually.
It is Wednesday. How about Wednesday
that? Wednesday on a Tuesday. It feels like it, we are live, by the way. I just want to make sure I didn't just like out myself and be like, oh no, it's a Tuesday. It's Wednesday. We are live, and we are talking right now about President Trump making that ultimatum to Vladimir Putin, saying, end this war in Ukraine in the next 10 days. Now, has there been any conversation, Will, between him and Zelensky offering similar thoughts? Because though their war has been less incursion, it's still an ongoing effort from both sides.
Right. So this is mainly focused on Russia because the fact of Russia being the aggressor in this.
The thought that if Russia ends, it will end.
Well, and once again, it's trickier than that because you're going to have to come up with some agreement.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, there's been speculation about what the Americans would consider an end to the war versus what the Ukrainians would consider an end to the war versus what the Russians would consider an end to the war. But what we are seeing is that President Trump, who ran on ending wars, not creating wars, is now focusing on the big Russia-Ukraine issue and putting these ultimatums forward mainly to Russia because Russia is the one that is the aggressor, has kind of blown past previous discussions and talks that President Trump has tried to encourage or put forward or mediate. And we're seeing even that comment where President Trump said that Vladimir Putin called him and said, you know, do you need help with Iran? And he was like, no, I need help with you because you're not really being a good faith negotiator in this situation. But we're seeing also the former president, but now deputy chair of the Security Council. So in a high ranking position still, Dmitry Medvedev. And he had that first post on X I told you about in the previous segment.
You say that name so clearly.
Well, you know, we've talked about this man for quite a while.
Medvedev.
Yeah, it's a fun name. It's got
a sing-songy
fun
kind of like
consonants
to it.
That appear in the, when there's multiple V's in
Medved,
a name.
It's not Medved.
No, there's
it's
not a, like a Medvedev. Medvedev.
Medvedev. I digress.
Words are fun. So we're going to talk about this, but he also said this other post, this was just from last week, that is still his focus is on President Trump. This is when President Trump toyed with the fact of making this this deadline shorter. And he said, Trump issued a theatrical ultimatum to the Kremlin The world shuddered, expecting the consequences. Belligerent Europe was disappointed, and Russia didn't care, and then followed it up today with this this very direct, you know, 50 days or 10, he should remember two things, basically threatening to escalate this to a confrontation with the United States and NATO, which would be quite the escalation and not what anyone, I think, in Russia, as well as Ukraine, nor the United States or anywhere in the world would really want to see. That's tough talk coming from the Russians. However, we now also see that President Trump's negotiation has been successful in places such as the European Union, which a lot of people thought would have been the hardest trade deal to get forward. And it's not even so much about the tariffs there, but the investment from the European Union, which does a lot of business with Russia and former Soviet states and things of that nature, really starting to pour investment into the United States. And that makes a sea change for the economic reality of the Russian Federation when they need as much revenue coming in because they have a very costly, draining war that is still ongoing. I think that if the economic pressure points are right, losing the economic boost from the European Union, if all of that investment or a lot of that investment starts focusing towards the United States, at the same time as President Trump offering and threatening higher tariffs, secondary sanctions, things of that nature, it could put President Putin in a very difficult situation because of that economic factor. And the economic warfare that President Trump uses a lot of times is the most effective tool.
I want to take a moment, by the way, as we are going to move into another topic in the next segment. You may have seen the New York Times having to issue a correction over some of the reporting in Gaza and some of the issues we're running into with social media. And of course, there's always been the talk of what misinformation, disinformation, what that looks like. But I think we're seeing it on a grander scale. If you know what I'm talking about, I want you to give me a call. Go ahead and get in line. 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk about this war also between Russia and Ukraine, give us a call. But right now, we are just a few days left in our 35 years of justice drive. Okay, we're celebrating 35 years of justice, and we're also looking forward to another 35 years of justice, the ACLJ. There have been people who've been with us for a very long time, and one of them is called in right now. This is Heidi in Texas on line one that I would love to go to. Heidi, you're on the air.
Thank you. I'm a regular listener, so much so that my kids have your phone number memorized because they hear it so often.
Me too. Tell them it's fine. You know, it's, if you grow up and it's what happens, but that's awesome though.
Yeah, and a regular donator. But I would like to encourage all listeners to give to the ACLJ's 30 years of justice drive. Think about how different the United States would be today if the ACLJ had not been around the last 35 years. If Jay had not been there to argue the Mergen case, perhaps schools around the country would not allow Bible subs. If the ACLJ had not been there to argue abortion cases years ago, those briefs and arguments would not have existed for Justice Alito to use in his opinion that overturned Roe v. Wade. If the ACLJ was not around to represent Pastor Brunson and many other persecuted Christians around the world and broadcast their situations, perhaps many of them would still be wasting away or worse in prisons abroad. Think of the hundreds and probably thousands of demand letters that would not have been sent if the ACLJ was not around the last 35 to send them, the last 35 years to send them. Perhaps churches cannot meet on the beach. Perhaps retirement homes would not allow Bible studies. Perhaps prayer vigils would not be allowed on public land across the country. And perhaps view at the poll day would not exist anymore in the United States. Now think about the next 35 years and all the challenges we will face. We cannot even imagine what many of those challenges will be. But what we can know is that if we all support the ACLJ, it will continue to exist and fight for our constitutional rights and religious liberties for the next 35 years and beyond. Thank you, Jay, Jordan, Logan, Will, Cece, and the whole ACLJ team. We need you more than we know. And for the media team, I have a film idea to share with you. You can make a movie called It's a Wonderful Country and show what the U.S. would be like without the work of the ACLJ over the past 35 years.
Heidi, that's a great idea. First, I want to say thank you for that. What an amazing call. And it sounds like we, like, it was a plant or we told you what to, just know that Heidi cold called in. And it's really encouraging to hear those words, Heidi, that you've been with us for so long, that you're so engaged. Obviously, give our love to your kids who have to listen to us and have had to listen to us for so many years. It does make our hearts warm to hear that and to know that people get it. And I know there's people like you out there that are supporting the work of the ACLJ, not just financially, but with your thoughts, with your prayers, and even just knowing that what we stand for is true. And I really, I can't express that enough. And of course, I encourage people to listen to what Heidi had to say, and if they can, to financially donate. But even if you're brand new, maybe you just that's the first thing you've heard about us, you understand that we've been around for a very long time, and we've been doing this work at a very high level, at a very high level for a very long time. And I encourage you to donate right now. Few days left here in our 35 years of justice. She mentioned Bridget Mergens and the Mergens case. I know we've been running some of those videos talking about the Mergens case, the very first one. Maybe you're going to be hearing from Bridget herself in the next few days. I'm excited to hear from her. Of course, it's been a number of years, but we're going to talk to a lot, especially in the next month. We're going to talk to a lot of people who have been affected, whether it was by gigantic ways like Bridget Mergens, or maybe it was some of those Bible clubs that were in a small case and the ACLJ was able to get involved in a very quick way. We're going to talk to a lot of people coming up because we're going to keep celebrating. This right now, this specific celebration, this specific moment, this 35 years of justice is going to wrap up here in just 2 days. So if you can, make your donations heard. And when you do that, you get it doubled right now. And I know it sounds like I'm pitching this a lot, but understand, doubled. That means every time you make a donation, there is someone out there, another incredible champion or donor who has said, I will pledge to unlock a donation up to a certain amount. And there's a huge group of them. So we can pretty much do it as high as possible. So make your donation today at ACLJ.org. We are going to take calls coming up. We are going to also move on a little bit from the war in Russia. We'll touch back on it, though. If you want to talk about it, feel free to call me at 1-800-684-3110 or put it in the chat. But we are going to move on, Will, to some of the news that's been coming out. You may have been seeing it out of the press and the press involvement and the social media impact of the war going on in Gaza.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in the next segment as well. But I want to echo something that the caller said, because while all of those things are great victories and wonderful for the liberty of the American people, those fights don't go away. She mentioned the Bible clubs that we help through the ACLJ. Your dad winning those cases at the Supreme Court set the precedent. But it doesn't mean those that want to take those rights away aren't fighting all the time to continue. We have those cases still, even though they're a little bit easier because we have a Supreme Court case that was won by the ACLJ that can say, look at this, but they still pop up. The Bible clubs, the prayer, the pro-life protesters, all of these things that are precious liberties of ours. Those that want to take them away have not given up, and they won't give up. But neither will we. That's why we continue to fight, Logan, that 35 years of justice isn't the end. It's just the beginning, and we're going to keep fighting.
That's right. Go to ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. This is Jordan Sekulow. You've spoken, and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you. Life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ, but this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. None of the critical legal victories we've scored over the past 35 years would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But the threats to life and religious liberty are far from over. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. This isn't just our work, it's our calling. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. Again, if you want to call in about the Russia-Ukraine war, you can. We just had an amazing caller who called in, just talked about her support of the ACLJ, and I did see someone saying, you let this person go on and on about the work of the ACLJ. Why don't you take a caller with a real question? You know what? Call us in. Right now, we don't have any call. We got one call on hold. They've just been on hold for the last minute. So why don't you give us a call? If you care so much about these issues and what we're talking about, maybe you have a point of view. It doesn't have to agree with ours. It doesn't have to line up with ours. As long as you're kind to our phone screener, you'll get put up. And don't say any bad words because, you know, we're on terrestrial radio. We'll get thrown
Someone
off.
Called us useful idiots the other day.
Useful idiots? Or useless?
Useful idiots. Okay. No, useful idiots these means useful. We're tools of the deep of the spies and
some
the
sort of
CIA.
Spitballer?
There was a lot of mixed metaphors.
Okay.
He said spitballing, landmines, sea mines, a lot of metaphors with that caller.
But megamines. That's what they call us.
Now he's living rent-free in our mind.
Maybe you, not me. Phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. I did want to move our topic a little bit to what was going on. It's something that I've spent a lot of time in research and discussing with a lot of my friends. Obviously, the imagery that comes out of the war in Gaza right now is heartbreaking, whether that is you see children starving, you see buildings crumbled, you see everything that's going on. And of course, most of it is pointed to the direction of Israel being to blame. I want us to take a step back. There was a news article that came out. You may have seen this picture of a sick child that they claimed was being starved. And look, you can't look at the picture and not feel something. And if honestly, if you feel nothing, then there's a big problem. But of course, we are to learn that just a few days later that that picture was a tool of manipulation. And this was a child with some severe sicknesses and severe illnesses. And if you actually were to just pull the frame back slightly, you would see another one of their relatives who is in very healthy condition. You would see the mother also looks to be in fairly healthy condition. So to say that this child was starving, again, I'm not saying that's not happening at all. I'm saying be careful what your heart says and do some research. So much so that the New York Times actually had to make a correction. Because you think quickly with your heart. And some of it is, I sent Will a post that one of the Zionist groups that I follow, and I mean that in a good way, you know, kind of in the way pre 2 years ago, talked about how we all are a little bit of war fatigue right now. We have a little bit of Gaza war fatigue, so much so that you do see these pictures. Your hearts do break. Because you know why? You're a human. And you do want to see the war end. Though we know the end goals, you still want to see it end. You still don't want to see kids suffer. But this is when the gaslighting begins. This is when the quote-unquote fake news starts happening, and you have to become really vigilant on what you're seeing. They even asked President Trump, what do you think about these pictures? And he's like, they're heartbreaking. He said something like that. He said, I don't know how you fake those kind of things. I mean, that's a very generic version. But you know what they did? They did. So much so that the New York Times had to issue a correction on their account on X as well, in general, just in the newspaper.
That's right. And they put up a statement saying children in Gaza are malnourished and starving. As New York Times reporters and others have documented, we recently ran a story, and it was a cover story, by the way, with a very large photo on the front page, about Gaza's most vulnerable civilians, including Mohammed Zakaria Al-Mutawak, who is about 18 months old and suffers from severe malnutrition. We have since learned new information, including that the hospital that treated him and his medical records, and have updated our story to add context about his pre-existing health conditions. This additional detail gives readers a greater understanding of his situation. So they're issuing a correction that they ran with this, and honestly, we're seeing a lot of people, even in the evangelical community, start to read it and turn. And it is heartbreaking when any child is suffering, whether from medical conditions, from malnutrition, whatever.
It does not belittle the condition of the child and how you can feel about someone who is sick and hurting or dying, because that is something that is human, and I hope you feel that way. But it's when you know that this child in this photo is being issued specifically for the manipulation of, I would say, the American people in the Western world. I'll put the UK in there as well, and in Europe, because they're trying to convince you that what Israel is doing is not true, that they are not providing humanitarian aid, which again, in what other war context would you be demanding humanitarian aid? But let's take that part and say they are. Sure, there's issues with that because you have a terrorist regime running the show. But when you have these kind of moments, you have to take a step back and go, I am no longer going to just share without knowing. I'm going to do my own research. I'm going to breathe for a second, because your heart goes, go for it. Tell Israel it's time to be done. Look at what's happening to these children. And I'm not saying it's not happening to some children there, but when you see pictures and you see actual children being used, they said they used them as human shields. Now they're using them as tools of media manipulation.
Well, and Logan, once again, the New York Times kind of did a despicable thing even with this correction. One, they got the narrative they wanted out
they
there because the French said they are going to recognize Palestinian statehood. The UK said if they don't end the war tomorrow, they're going to recognize Palestinian statehood.
Which, by the way, it's a very weird threat.
Right.
Like, I don't agree with France, and I don't agree with a lot of them, but they're not using it, I feel like, as a threatening tool. They're using it as a, this is just how what we believe now. The UK is like, you better. Like, that's a little strange.
Right. But here's the other issue with what the New York Times did with this. They issued this correction, not from the New York Times X account, which has 55 million followers. They issued it from at New York NY Times PR, which is their communications account, that only has 89,000 followers. So even with their correction, they put the photo everywhere, became a huge story, front page of their newspaper, making sure everyone saw what they were trying to use, a child with unfortunate medical conditions and in an unfortunate situation, and people are suffering under Hamas rule in Gaza. But they use that for a specific means to an end. And now when they have to issue their correction, because their reporters didn't do their job and find out the full story before running with it, their editors didn't fact check it enough before running with this as front page news, they try to bury it on a sub account. They aren't even, saying, look at this. Yeah, it's at NY Times PR, only 89,000 followers, which actually doubled because of this story. It was only like 45,000. But instead of putting it out on the front, the forward-facing at New York Times with 55 million followers, they used a sub-account to do it. So they're not even, we know they're not to be taken seriously, but it's so much more despicable when even their correction, they don't really want you to know about it because they still want the lie that they started with to continue going. But the problem that we're seeing is that their manipulation is working. If Israel did what they should have done and wiped out Hamas immediately, they would have been demonized by the world and said, look at them, they're horrible people. If they take every precaution in the world and it takes way too long to wipe out this terrorist group, they're the most evil people in the world. All of it is anti-Semitism and hating the Jewish homeland. They cannot win in that, no matter what. If you win quickly or win in the long game, but unfortunately now we're starting to see some of this anti-Semitism, some of this, well, maybe they are evil, creep into what was one of the biggest bases of support for Israel and the Jewish homeland, the Christian church here in America.
All right. With that being said, we have about a minute left in this segment, and this is the end of our first half hour. We have a second half hour coming up. Most of you get it because you watch online or you're watching on the Salem News Channel or any of our digital platforms. There's some terrestrial radio stations that only carry the half hour or carry the split up over the course of the day. I encourage you right now, if you're watching or listening during our live show, which is we do this live 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time. If you're part of that right now and you aren't getting this full half hour or full hour, you need to join us for the back half. We got Rick Grinnell joining us. It gets a little bit, we take more calls in the back half. It's a pretty interesting 30 minutes. This is sort of the setup, and now you get the payoff. But I want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. We got five lines open right now. I'm just going to be honest. Five lines, perfect time to call in. And today, we are just a couple days away from the end of our drive. Celebrate 35 years with us. Scan that QR code. We'll be right back.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights and standing for freedom. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to the back half of Seculo. Will Haynes is joining us. Rick Rennell is going to be coming up in the next segment. We've hit a few things today. We've talked about the war in Russia and how President Trump, I think we should hear from President Trump again. We should probably replay that clip. President Trump said they have 10 days to end the war in Ukraine or else. Let's hear from President Trump.
Yesterday, you mentioned that you would change the Russia deadline to 10 to 12 days. Has that started yet? Or when can we, you know, see the official statement that that is the new deadline?
I'll tell you what, I'll give it to you now. Do you want a big scoop?
Yes, please.
Everybody else, close your ears, okay? You ready?
I'm ready.
10 days from today.
Got it.
Okay?
Got it.
Good.
How do you communicate?
We have a scoop.
Thank you.
And then, you know, we're going to put on tariffs and stuff, and I don't know if it's going to affect Russia. Because he wants to obviously probably keep the war going. But we're going to put on tariffs and the various things that you put on. It may or may not affect them, but it could.
May or may not affect them. Look, I think he's being very straightforward and honest about this. Saying,
yeah.
Look, this is what we told them. This may change their mind. It may not. You know what you realize? And we can talk to Rick about this in the next segment. He's not necessarily even dealing with the Vladimir Putin he dealt with in the first term. He's dealing with or Vladimir Putin coming out of the Obama years. You're talking about 4 years of no contact with America through the Biden administration, where it felt so one-sided. And again, I'm not saying I'm not on Ukraine's side in this. And I think what, honestly, what Donald Trump has shown is that we probably should be. And some people who have had issues with that, when you look at everyone, pretty much everyone who peeks behind the curtain finds out, oh, yeah, there isn't necessarily moral equivalency. There are issues. There's always issues in the war, and there's always issues with both sides. But maybe there's not moral equivalency that's going on there. And hopefully you'd see the same what's going on in Israel and Gaza. The new formal presidents of Russia coming out and saying, this is not Israel. You got to be careful, President Trump. We're going to end up in a war with Russia, and you don't want that. And of course, none of us want that.
I think we should play this flashback bite because it has Dmitry Medvedev in it when he was president of the United States, president of Russia, but still... Vladimir Putin, everyone knew, was really the one that controlled everything in Russia at the time. But this is with about 12 years ago, 13 years ago, rather, another U.S. president who liked to look tough about Russia publicly. But there was a hot mic moment we should remind people of as Barack Obama was talking with Dmitry Medvedev look, I'm talking tough now, but just wait until I get done with my election.
This was the re-election time. This was 2012, so heading into the re-election.
Let's go ahead and roll bite three.
My last election, basically. Yeah, and after my election, I have more flexibility. Yeah, and I transmit this information to Vladimir and Denver.
So if you can't hear it clearly, you hear then President Barack Obama, who was running to be reelected. This is why I don't agree with two terms presidencies. I mean, it's true. It's why it's not going to mean anything to anyone. It's never going to happen.
Right.
I believe in a one-term, six-year presidency because then you don't have stuff like this. Then you don't have 2 years of running for reelection, and you don't have moments where you have Barack Obama saying, this is my last election. After my election, I will have more flexibility. And then you have the president of Russia going, I understand. I will transmit this information to Vladimir. I mean, what? This again, this was 2012.
Which is the most James Bond spy film quote of all time of, I will transmit this information to Vladimir.
That's some translation right there, man. I like it. But when you read that or when you see that, you got to remember, sure, that was now 13 years ago. But we were dealing with that situation then. So you had a pretty good relationship with many of these presidents. Then you have such a bad relationship with the Biden administration because they decided just to shut out anyone that they disagreed with, to not sit down and have any of these meetings. And that could fuel the fact that now you have a president, or now you have Vladimir Putin, who is really unwilling to have those negotiations that he would have maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago, with President Trump. With that being said, phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. In the next segment, we're joined by a member of the ACLJ team. You know him, you love him, Rick Rennell, former Director of National Intelligence, and of course, an ambassador throughout the world. I feel like he's the world's ambassador, Will. He's not.
But it's not the official title. But.
He's also a special envoy, which I always like as a cool thing to say as well. But he'll be joining us in the next segment, and then we're going to take your calls. And again, support the work. We only got a couple days left in this Life and Liberty. Not Life and Liberty. 35 years of Justice Drive. A lot of drives. Well, be right back.
Yeah.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. None of the critical legal victories we've scored over the past 35 years would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But the threats to life and religious liberty are far from over. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. This isn't just our work, it's our calling. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation. They're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Welcome back to Seculo. Rick Grinnell is joining us right now via phone. Obviously, we've talked about a lot of the issues that have come up today, whether that is the war in Russia and the war in Ukraine, whether that is the misinformation and disinformation. I hate using those words, but it's just true. What was coming out of the New York Times involving the Israel and Gaza photos that were being spread. Again, heartbreaking photos, but of course, contextually incorrect, so much so the New York Times has to issue corrections. And then you have UCLA, Rick, right in your backyard. And Will, why don't we give, look, we've worked with people at UCLA, beautiful campus. That's a different time, Will.
That's right. What we're seeing now is we saw last week about Columbia having a $200 million settlement with the Trump administration. Harvard is apparently looking at spending up to $500 million to resolve their dispute with the administration over anti-Semitism on their campus. And we're seeing that UCLA has now agreed to pay more than $6 million to settle a lawsuit brought by students who said that the university allowed so much anti-Semitic discrimination during the protests that there was included a Jewish exclusion zone. And now that school is having to settle with these students. Rick, we're starting to see a sea change. Do we think it's going to be real at these universities, or are they just trying to make it go away?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. I think they definitely want it to go away. They don't like the pressure. But I do think that having these large settlements and bad publicity are going to be able to shake the board and shake the leadership to say we've got to do something different. I know a lot of people who work at UCLA who are outraged that the school was so slow. And I even have a friend who is in development who said that the entire development team saw how money stopped flowing into UCLA. And yet they never equated it with the problems that they were seeing, even though donors were coming forward and saying, I'm not going to give right now because you can't control the anti-Semitism. You can't control the hate that is scaring individuals and taking away their individual rights. And so I think universities have to do a better job. And donors here, I think the lesson is that donor intent is really one of these concepts that's coming back. If you're a donor and you want to give to a charity, you've got to speak up and you say, I'm giving to this charity because I want common sense. And they don't just get to take your money and walk away. You need to be able to have some sort of control over that. And maybe that means breaking up your gifts so that you don't just give one big gift, but you tell them that you want to keep giving over the next, you know, several months or years, but you're going to need to see, you know, some sort of action or progress. But I think this is a big win for donor intent. I think it's a big win for the lawyers. They made a lot of money. But at the end of the day, hopefully, the students and those in the community of UCLA are going to actually be able to have free speech without having violence or other individual rights taken away from somebody simply because they're Jewish.
Rick, we're going to ask you shortly, after I got one more question on this kind of angle, but we are going to ask him about the trade deals with the European Union and things because of your expertise being former ambassador to Germany. But one thing I wanted to bring up, because you're also an expert on the UN and spent much of your career at the UN, that we saw something historic. Now, it's not a perfect document as far as policy goes that we here at the ACLJ or even the United States would agree with, but we saw something very historic at the UN today where 17 countries plus the 22 member Arab League and the entire EU signed on to this, what they call the New York Declaration, which was in a two-state solution kind of conference they were having. But for the first time, we've seen the entire Arab League, which included Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Egypt, Jordan, and Turkey, sign this declaration that condemned October 7th, called on the release of hostages, called on Hamas to disarm and to end its rule of Gaza. It also called on Israel to end the war, and it also called for a two-state solution. So while not a perfect document, seeing unity among the Arab League condemning Hamas, calling for hostages to be released. I mean, it sounds like when people talk about the Abraham Accords could continue, there are signs in the world right now that something like that could happen.
Look, I think my experience at the UN teaches me that when you have common sense, simplistic statements, that you're going to get more people to sign on to them. The problem that the UN has so many times is that the statements become this incredibly loaded political document. And we can't have that anymore. We have to be able to have a situation where the common sense, very plain spoken individuals put their thoughts on a piece of paper and more people will sign on to them. Things like Hamas must be disarmed. Things like, you know, we want peace. October 7th, condemnation. Those are the simplistic common sense points that most countries can get on. And that's what I think the United States needs to do, is be able to make sure that these documents are more simplistic and targeted rather than loaded up like a Christmas tree with all sorts of policies. That's when you get dissension and people voting against it.
Rick, I also wanted to ask your thoughts on, we saw a lot of deals being struck, whether that was in Europe, trade deals, tariff deals, all the things that we thought could, you know, they kind of said President Trump wasn't going to be able to pull off, and all of a sudden he is pulling them off. And then we have a potential one also in the UK, who's sitting there meeting with him. At the same time, you have President Trump making some demands of Russia, saying, Russia, it's time to wrap up this war. And as of yesterday or this morning, said you got 10 days before things are going to happen. So I want to get your thoughts on, first, these deals that are happening. As someone who was the ambassador to Germany, was involved a lot in Europe, what does this look like? What does this point to? But then how does this new piece also fit into it?
Well, look, I think what we're seeing now is Donald Trump has really forged these amazing deals for America. But if you look at the European press, the Europeans are not happy with this. Many countries are beginning to say, we can't sign on to this. I think this is a real damage for the EU. It's highlighting the fact that the EU is not able to have one voice, that it's got too many parts to it. Maybe it's time to have individual countries work out their own trade deals. You know, Germany certainly is unique in Europe in that it has the car industry, the German automakers. And that's much different than some of the other EU members who may not get a benefit. And so they don't sign on to it. It's an extremely difficult management process to try to manage so many diverse countries into one bill. Donald Trump did it, and he was able to present his plan. Ursula von der Leyen, representing the EU, they signed on to it, but now I think they're having second thoughts. This is just highlighting the fact that President Trump is a businessman. He knows how to negotiate, and he's winning on all of this tariff stuff. We've got to be honest that his tariff strategy has worked. It has been something that has worked, and there's more money coming into the United States, and countries are scrambling to be able to trade with us. And it's a strategy, I think, that is long overdue, something that Donald Trump has been delivering on.
Yeah, I think scrambling is the right word. We've seen that kind of over and over again as these countries, and look, you're right, it may not be the most popular opinion even there, but like, we go back to the European Union. We have to remember the Brexit situation that happened now over a decade ago, probably right around a decade ago, where the UK decided, you know what, we're going to vote on this. We can't be put under the same laws, rules, and regulations that every European country is under. I had friends that were builders there, contractors, who were in that business, construction. And they're saying, you know, they were being told, no, Spain has a certain requirement for, you know, a bridge being connected to here. And they're like, but we're not in Spain. These countries are different. It's a kind of an ongoing issue in Europe. And yes, have some things become more complicated now that Brexit exists? Yes, but they did it for a reason.
Yeah, there's no question that the EU has been shown to be shrinking and having less power over the last decade. Brexit happened because of immigration. Donald Trump has really wrestled that issue, and it's now a winning issue in America, closing the borders and having strict laws. I think Europe is now following, although late. You know, that's one thing that we've learned about the European Union is they're extremely late. They've been late on the Russian energy issue that President Trump brought forward. They've been late on NATO spending increases, which President Trump brought forward. Immigration is certainly one. The EU has to be careful because it seems to be getting weaker, not stronger.
Thanks for joining us. Just like Europe, Will, they're always late. Like, they're just now getting the Matrix.
Just now.
Just now. It's just happening right now.
How'd they get it?
I don't know. Okay, where'd you get this?
You know what deja vu is?
Yeah. It's the Matrix.
Glitch in the Matrix.
Glitch in the Matrix. All right. We have one more segment left. We want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. A couple of you on hold right now. Cyrus and Ronald. Stay on hold. I'll get to you. And then we'll take some more calls. But right now, there's three open lines. Perfect time to call in. And of course, it's also a perfect time to support your ACLJ. Because right now, we are in our 35 years of justice drive. When there's only a couple days left, you got to do it before the end of the month to have your gifts doubled during this specific moment where we're celebrating and moving forward.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you. Life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ, but this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. None of the critical legal victories we've scored over the past 35 years would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But the threats to life and religious liberty are far from over. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. This isn't just our work, it's our calling. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, Go to aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. It's time to take your calls and comments. And you know what? There have been people who've been on hold for 32 minutes. And we'll get to you next. But we get to go to Terry first, who's only been on hold for a minute and a half. And that is because Terry is an ACLJ champion. That's someone that gives on a monthly basis. And I have made my own personal perk for being a champion, which you get bumped to the front of the line because you are saying each and every month you support the work of the ACLJ, make it part of your monthly living and know how much we appreciate it. It's just a little fun thing we get to do for you. Terry, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I was just referencing, I think yesterday, the caller made the comment about useful idiots, and the only ones I see are the mainstream media, because when I was in Iraq 20 years ago, we had to fight that between Al-Qaeda and our own media, and that's a lot of what's going on now in Gaza and everything.
Yeah, Terry, we appreciate, obviously, your service that you were over there and working so hard, and we really appreciate it. We appreciate those who give and support the ACLJ, because like I've said before, and Terry, you brought it up, there's kind of two big versions of the ACLJ that exist. Now, they're the same entity, but you have media and legal, and they go hand in hand. But we can't have the best of the best in legal and the best of the best in media, and we can't be creating fully independent media, which is what I love that we get to do. There is no one above us, you know, other than God, saying, here's what you need to go do. There isn't a corporate overlord that is telling me what to tell you right now. That's why we're able to be honest. I'm able to just tell you how I feel. We don't have corporate sponsors like that. All we can do is tell you the truth. I have no benefit of doing anything else. So, Terry, when you support the work of the ACLJ on a monthly basis, I hope it shows. I hope you know it's because we're being honest with you, honest with our audience. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Now let's move over to Cyrus, who's in North Carolina, watching on one of our newer outlets, Salem News Channel. If you have been on hold for a while, I know it's a little bit of a left turn in terms of the comment you want to make, but you know what? Let's have at it. Go ahead, Cyrus.
Yeah, yes, sir. You guys do a wonderful job, and I appreciate everything you do. But I was watching TV recently, just about 30 minutes ago, and I saw Chuck Schumer giving an address about how Donald Trump is breaking all of his things he promised through his quest to be reelected. And the one thing they were talking about was, of course, this Jeffrey Epstein thing. Mm-hmm. The problem is they're lying, and I don't like the fact that they're lying blatantly to the public, and it's being broadcast over everything else.
Well,
and lies don't need to be going on.
Yeah, Cyrus, I mean, of course, that's one of those fun issues that kind of switched places,
right?
Where all of a sudden you had conservatives you had the Trump administration that kind of ran on it. They kind of ran on, we're going to release all the information, and now you have you had liberals going, don't do that, because it's going to probably implicate our guys. But then now, and President Trump is like, there's nothing to release, and Pam Bondi, all of a sudden the liberals are like, oh, how dare you? You told us you were going to release it. So, of course, it's one of those flip-flop issues that is just used in marketing.
Well, and Hakeem Jeffries, who is the minority leader of the House of Representatives, decided he was going to go all in on that. They're sending Democrat fundraising emails about the Epstein files, which is such a bizarro world.
That's
because
what I mean, yeah.
they literally are, they're mocking people that have had a vested interest in this by using this as their political tool. Because when they were in power, this was a thing that people talked about,
and they did
nothing about it.
Yep.
And now that there is movement and it's in the news, the fact that The New York Times and MSNBC and Washington Post are running headlines about the Jeffrey Epstein thing is so shocking
later.
Because it's like when people were saying, why won't the media cover this? They wouldn't touch it. But all of a sudden, now that they can hurt Trump, they're going to do it. It's that blatant. It's the same thing that they do, though. They use what they can to politically damage conservatives and President Trump, and they will continue to do it because that's what those institutions unfortunately have become.
We got a couple more calls. Let's continue on. Ronald in South Carolina, if you do want to call in, this is probably your last chance. 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Ronald, South Carolina, watching on Rumble. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Yes, it was just a comment that you had made to ask a question about what do we think about the Russian and the Ukraine war. And I believe that it would not have been a war if the Biden administration had kept the sanctions that Trump had made over the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. But now he's funding his war and literally holding Western Europe hostage because all the gloves have been taken off of Nord Stream 2 pipeline.
Ron, and Russia literally. We know you listen frequently. We know you're very informed. You're exactly right. The fact of the matter is that Russia didn't invade Ukraine during the first Trump administration. They did invade Ukraine under President Obama. They did invade Ukraine under President Biden. Facts matter. That tells you something.
And Trump always says it's good to be at least like 5% they believe that you're crazy and could actually get to war.
But also, you think about this. The fact that we played that bite earlier from President Obama where he said, hey, give me some flexibility. I have to act strong now, but then I'll be more flexible after I get elected. When Democrats accuse you of doing something, they're always projecting. And we saw the entire Russia collusion narrative that they cooked up that we've been talking about a lot over the last couple weeks because of all the new intel that's coming out. It's because they were the ones that were favorable to the Russians. That's when Russia would invade. That's when Russia all of a sudden could get the oil revenue again. The real people that were helping Russia, and I'm not saying colluding in any sort of way like that, but that were actually making the deals with Russia and doing things, putting forward policies that were favorable to the Russians, was not Republicans and President Trump. It was the Democrats the whole time.
And big catch up.
Big catch up. Yeah. He didn't like it.
Nope. Obama said, after you're 8, he wants to ban it.
That tells you everything you need to know, because catch up is an American treasure.
Let's go quickly to Candy in Georgia, because ketchup is Will's candy. Let's go ahead and go to Candy in Georgia. You're on the air.
Hey there. It might have, Will might have just answered. I'm not sure. Since we did an illegal deal during Obama with Biden Ukraine, why are we helping Ukraine?
Well, we got about 45 seconds.
Well, I don't know that it was necessarily an illegal deal.
Illegal,
I mean,
in
that,
quotes, yeah.
Right, but...
Illegal, unethical.
The biggest problem is that, we are on the world stage. We're not necessarily supporting Ukraine in the fact of, like, they are... the way that the left made Ukraine being the perfect country for some reason.
Where you're waving the flag.
But I think what President Trump has always said is... I want these wars that are destabilizing to world order to end. I want people to stop dying, and that's something noble. And I think we should all agree that just killing for the sake of killing it should not be going on.
No, absolutely. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. We only have a minute left, so I'm going to encourage you in this next minute to pray about, think about, and take a look at ACLJ.org. We offer so many free services, whether that's legal help for absolutely no cost. Understand that. When you become a client of the ACLJ, there's no cost to you. But that is because amazing people like you put your money where your mouth is and says, I'm going to stand up for the ACLJ because I believe in what they do. I like this show. I like the programming they offer. I like the blogs they offer. I like the legal work that they do, that they take action. I like that they have offices all around the world, whether that's in Washington, D.C., Nashville, Tennessee, Strasbourg, France, so many other places, Jerusalem. And it's all because people like you support the work. So I'm going to ask you to throw up that QR code right now and go to ACLJ.org if you're just listening, because it means so much to us. When you do that, you're also supporting this broadcast. So again, do it today, as all donations are doubled through the end of the month, and we are just about here at the end of the month. So help us finish strong. Your donations matter right now, and they are doubled. So again, go to ACLJ.org. Become a champion if you can, and your first donation will be doubled. Talk to you tomorrow.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights and standing for freedom. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to ACLJ.org.